You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, and I will be rolling solo dolo tonight. Jeff was on a plane for the first part of the game and on vacation, so I told him I would handle today's episode. No problem, because there's a lot to talk about and a lot of fun things to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, Max Scherzer is a Dodger. That is a real and true fact, and probably one of the best facts out there at the moment. Max Scherzer's debut at Dodger Stadium was electric. He struck out 10, allowed 2 runs. The Dodgers ended up winning 7-5 against the Astros to split the series at Dodger Stadium and the season series. Going to get into all that, the atmosphere at the stadium, Max Scherzer, Mookie Betts, a couple other comments, and also the news that the Dodgers signed Cole Hamels. So we'll be getting into all that, but a quick reminder to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts, and when you get in your car or if you're at home, tear your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. So, like I mentioned, Max Scherzer is a Dodger, struck out 10 in his Dodger Stadium debut, went 7 innings, struck out Jose Altuve 3 times, and overall just embraced what it means to be a Dodger. One of the best debuts probably ever by a pitcher when joining the Dodgers. And he even got a curtain call. The first curtain call, I believe, in 2021. I'm not entirely sure. I haven't been to every game, but I want to say that's one of the first ones. Max Scherzer said it was the first curtain call of his career. So that's fun for the Dodgers and also national fans. Did he never end a great performance on a strikeout and walk off the field? I don't know. But either way, it was great. The Dodgers won, put up 7 runs really early, and just kind of cruised the rest of the way. Matt let Max Scherzer do the job and then let Joe Kelly have some fun, although he ended up allowing a home run to Carlos Correa. But he did strike out Altuve. Altuve had a golden sombrero on the night. And then Kenley Jansen made it a little bit more stressful in the ninth inning, giving up a hit and a home run. But then ended up shutting it down. So the Dodgers, like I said, won. Split the series at Dodger Stadium. Split the season series. And don't have to worry about the Astros again unless they happen to meet in the 2021 World Series. As it comes to Max Scherzer, dominant performance. Touched 97 a few times. Averaged 95.2 on his fastball throughout the night. He attributed the little bit of a tick in velocity to being completely over the triceps injury that had kind of bugged him in the last month or so. So that's a good sign for the Dodgers. And honestly, what more can you really ask for out of a guy in his debut against one of the best hitting teams? I know they're down a couple guys, but you know, you can only pitch to who you can pitch to, and that's just a matter of how it is. And obviously a little bad luck on Buehler's end. Buehler gave up less runs than Scherzer yesterday, but ended up getting the loss. Scherzer allowed 2 runs today, ended up getting the win. But I think after the game, when Scherzer had his comments, some of the things that stood out to me were just, you know, getting on page with Will Smith. He said that Will Smith had a good plan, good game caller, has a nice glove to throw to back there. Mentioned the fact that he stole a couple strikes for him. So that's good that they deliver, that they get that rapport going and make sure that, you know, Max Scherzer likes throwing to Will Smith, so that was a good sign. Scherzer did say that he threw his curveball was working today. He probably threw it more than he has in a long time, which I'm not sure if it was just a matter of the fact that he had it working for him, which made him able to throw it more, or if that was a plan heading into it, whether the Dodgers want to see him throw it more or whether it was a good reason to throw it more against the Astros specifically. Not sure. We'll have to see if he ends up throwing more curveballs the rest of the year. But when he's, Max Scherzer said, when the curveball is working, then everything else kind of plays off that. And we kind of saw that. The fastball was humming. The changeup was nasty. And then that curveball settling in. It was just, you know, as good of a performance as you could really ask for. And it was fun to watch. You know, 10 strikeouts, 3 by Altuve. He ended his last inning, the 7th inning, with a strikeout. 96, just blew it by whoever was batting. I don't even know. And then walked off to a standing ovation. And then the Dodger fans stayed up and at it and clapping and demanding Scherzer come back out. And he came back out, got his curtain call. And it was just, you know, probably one of the more fun moments I've had at Dodger Stadium, not just in recent years, but maybe, you know, of all. Like, not of all time. Oh, yeah, of all time. Like, the atmosphere, Max Scherzer making his Dodger debut at Dodger Stadium, that's one. The Dodgers facing the Astros, that's two. The Dodgers facing the Astros after losing game one of the series, that's three. So it just was a combination of a lot of things. And I mentioned yesterday how people were saying it was louder than the World Series. And I would say that it was a little bit of cap. So I said in the same spot today, and it was definitely way louder on Wednesday than it was on Tuesday. Not a knock on to the game on Tuesday, but I think just because the Dodgers scored early, Scherzer was striking a bunch of guys out, and by the end of the game, you know, it was, the crowd was super into it, and definitely one of the louder regular season games I remember on a consistent basis. There's been, you know, times where the Dodgers either walk it off or do things big, have big things, have big moments, and the crowd goes crazy and it is very loud, but this was the most consistently loud game I've been to in a long time at Dodger Stadium, and it was fun. You know, Max Scherzer mentioned it was fun. Mookie Betts, who had 2 home runs in the first 2 innings, he mentioned that it was one of the best atmospheres he's ever played in. He mentioned how he played here in 2018, but he was on the other side, so it felt good to be on this side. He talked about Max Scherzer and just how great it was to see him. He got to see him up close playing second base again, and he mentioned, you know, that it was a lot better view from second base and a lot better view than being in the box against Scherzer. So all around, just a fun night. AJ Pollock crushed a home run. He continues to stay hot. Cody Bellinger had a nice hit, so that's a good sign. Hopefully it gets him going. Will Smith had a big 3-run home run in the first inning, opposite field, so that's nice to see. So it was good that the Dodgers got on the board early. Scherzer said he was able to settle in, and it, you know, just made overall for a fun night. Like I said, Kenley Jansen came in, gave up a 2-run home run in the 9th. That wasn't that fun, because at one point, even with Altuve striking out 4 times, he was on deck and would have represented the tying run if Jansen had walked or allowed the last batter to reach base. He did have a full count on him. Joe Kelly came in to a pretty raucous ovation as well. Shuck out Altuve for the 4th time. Shuck out Michael Brantley. Had Carlos Correa 2-2, was about to strike him out. But left the changeup a little bit high, and Correa did. It was a very nice home run, but it put them within 4 at the time. And I think he always does the hand to the ear, like, I can't hear you, for every home run. I think that's his thing since they get booed everywhere. But it definitely didn't go over well at Dodger Stadium when he did that. He already was getting the brunt of the boos and the loud, you know, loud noises, I guess, and he definitely got more after that. But overall, fun night to be at Dodger Stadium, and yeah, it was fun. It was exciting, and it's just hopefully a glimpse of what we get from Max Scherzer the rest of the way. So I'm going to come back, and I'm going to talk about a couple other things regarding to the game, and then get into the Dodgers signing that they made. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. We're all trying to get in shape and eat right. And guess who can help you out? Freshly can help you out. Their delicious meals are designed by nutritionists and cooked by chefs, making it easier to eat better. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meal delivered fresh to your door, no cooking required. Grocery shopping and cooking can be a pain, especially if you don't know how to, you know, be healthy, or if you don't know how to shop healthy, or whatever the case may be. But Freshly, you don't have to worry about that. All the meals arrive cooked and fresh every week, so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip the trip to the store. And ordering is easy. You just go to Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, satisfying, better-for-you meals. And right now, our listeners can try Freshly for just $6.16 per meal. Stop searching the internet for healthy food near me every night and start living life freshly. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to freshly.com/lockedon. Stop stressing about dinner. Go to freshly.com/lockedon for $40 off your first two orders. That's freshly.com/lockedon for $40 off your first two orders. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the part on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have the power to get to rockauto.com in your pocket, so why wouldn't you want to do it? You save time and money when using Rock Auto. You're supporting a family business that's been serving people online for over 20 years, and their prices are reliably low for every customer, not just mechanics or those in the car industry. They have everything you could need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Just an example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, $216 from Rock Auto. So make sure to head over to rockauto.com and explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, back, and before we get into the Cole Hamels signing, just wanted to kind of talk about the atmosphere at Dodger Stadium in a little bit different perspective. So where I was at in Loge, I was in an area that was pretty calm and quiet the whole time. I'm talking about Tuesday's game specifically, and then we saw a lot of videos on Tuesday from something that went down, I think, in Loge down the right field line, and a lot of alcohol, beers, whatever was being thrown at different people. And it just showed, you know, the side of Dodger Stadium that gets put down a lot, and you know, rightfully so in that extent. You know, throwing stuff is not the answer. There's never really a reason to do that, to throw stuff at people. So, you know, we want to make sure that we present all sides here on Locked On Dodgers. And we did see that side. Those fans were out of line and, you know, give Dodger fans a bad name in general. And this is something I don't know if we talked about on podcast or just talked about over the last week or so, just in with either Jeff or with other people, and just, you know, how this series was going to be fun. But as the innings get later and as more alcohol is consumed, I thought that things like what happened could happen. And that's kind of how it felt. It was loud, and the boos were for the right people earlier in the game. Toward the end of the game, the boos started coming a little more toward any Astro. They started throwing foul balls back from any Astro player, not just Altuve and Correa. So, yeah, it was the not fun side. And, you know, obviously it made the rounds on social media, and we'll see it. It'll get overshadowed. And it'll overshadow what was a fun experience overall, I feel like, at Dodger Stadium with the Astros. Even with all the booing and everything else, I felt like for the most part it was somewhat respectful, at least in most areas. We didn't see, you know, I think the one was kind of the main incident down there in field or load level, whatever the case may be. But Wednesday night, it was obviously a more fun and cheery time, so I don't think any of that happened. We'll have to see tomorrow if we see anything on social media. But yeah, that's just, you know, what I wanted to bring up and talk about that. Other than that, I was at both games and both were fun, but obviously Wednesday's was a little bit more fun. The other part that happened on Wednesday is the Dodgers signed Cole Hamels to a major league deal, $1 million for the rest of the season, and I believe a $200,000 incentive for every start he makes. Dave Roberts mentioned that he will be built up as a starter, that he will start throwing sim games. He'll throw two innings this weekend in a sim game and go from there. Bob Nightingale said it would be about a month of ramping up in order to get him ready to go. But as we know, Bob Nightingale isn't always right. And starting with the two-inning sim game, you would imagine a few days later he'll go three- or four-inning sim game or pitch count, whatever the case may be. He might be ready to go in about 2 to 3 weeks, hopefully more so the other side. I'm not sure how strong his arm is right now, how much he's been working out. I know he helped the showcase for teams last month, and obviously the Dodgers saw enough to sign him. And a guy that we hadn't, I think we mentioned with the showcase, but we hadn't really talked about too much, And he's a guy who you're not really sure what you can get out of him. He didn't throw. He threw one game in 2020, got rocked, and didn't throw the rest of the game. He threw for the Cubs back in 2019, and he was whatever. Hasn't thrown this year, obviously, for a professional team. So it'll remain to be seen what he can bring. But as we've said a lot of times, the Dodgers need innings to be eaten. And if Cole Hamels can give you five or six innings in outing, even if he's allowing maybe three, four, five runs, and hope the Dodgers offense can pick him up, then that's kind of what the Dodgers need. With Tony Gonsolin on the injured list and his shoulder been bugging him the entire year, it's a little bit of insurance for that. Eric Steven from True Blue LA had tweeted that Dave Roberts was asked about Clayton Kershaw's timetable, and he said, "I don't really know. I can't even speak to where he's at in his throwing progression." So what they said was not a setback. Maybe it was a setback. We're not sure. It was a vague answer. He might literally not know exactly what Kershaw's feeling at the time and kind of what he talked about with the other coaches. So if that's the case, the Dodgers will need another starter. Cole Hamels can be that guy. I don't think the Dodgers need a fifth starter until the middle of August because of all the off days. So they can get by with Buehler, Julio, Scherzer, and David Price for now. And then they'll need a fifth starter in the middle of August. Not sure if that's when. That might be too close for Cole Hamels to be ramped up, but maybe they can get him up to four innings or a 60-pitch count or something like that and get him in. Not sure if Tony Gonsolin's going to come off the IL when he's eligible, and then Kershaw, obviously, we don't know when he's going to come off the IL. So the Hamels signing is an interesting one just in the fact that it's a big former big name. Cole Hamels dominated the Dodgers in the postseason back in the day. A guy that the Dodgers were thought to maybe be after back in the day, after his big run with the Phillies, and the Dodgers weren't at the time willing to part with Corey Seager, and they didn't get Cole Hamels, and a lot of people were mad at that. Corey Seager obviously probably changed a lot of those people's minds, but yeah, he made 27 starts in 2019 for the Cubs, had a 3.81 ERA, a 4.09 FIP, which is honestly, if he can come out and give the Dodgers a three under four ERA with a under five FIP, I'll take it, especially the rest of the way, just because of what the Dodgers need. They need innings, and that's kind of the more important thing. If Kershaw or Gonsolin does come back, they can maybe push David Price back to the bullpen and be in a bullpen role, which probably is what the Dodgers need, considering they don't have the dominant left-handers at the moment, with Victor Gonzalez struggling and then Alex Vesia, you know, still not fully trusting in him just because of he hasn't shown it long enough yet. But when it comes to Hamels, yeah, obviously the Dodgers saw enough in his workout. Nobody else signed him, or at least nobody else offered him as much as the Dodgers did, or maybe he wanted to come to Los Angeles. We haven't talked to him yet. I'm sure he'll meet the press here in the next couple of days, and we'll get a few more answers from him. But it's an interesting time when the day Max Scherzer makes his debut, the Dodgers signed Cole Hamels. And if this was like 2012 or so, that it would be a pretty wild time. But the fact that it's 2021, it's probably maybe even a little more wild just for different reasons. So we'll see what the Dodgers get out of Cole Hamels. They obviously were enough to commit $1 million to him. Even if he doesn't make a pitch for the Dodgers, he's already signed that deal, already getting that money. So you would imagine they have a lot of confidence in him, and Dave Roberts seemed excited about it. So, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what comes from Cole Hamels. Checking on the NL West, the Giants won on Wednesday, so the Dodgers were not able to pick up any ground. They picked up that game they had on the Padres again, as the Padres lost in Oakland. So they are still 3.5 out in the division, which is the more important part. Dodgers are off on Thursday. The Giants take on the Diamondbacks one more time, so maybe the D-backs can help us out, get the Dodgers back down to three games. And this weekend is where maybe the Dodgers could make some moves. Potentially, they're playing the Angels and not facing Shohei Ohtani, so not facing any good starting pitchers. The Giants are facing the Brewers, and they got to be facing at least one of the Brewers' main guys, maybe even more. Not sure how the rotation lines up over there. So Dodgers should hopefully make up some ground this weekend at the very least and set it up. So that'll do it for this segment. I'm going to come back and talk about the 2022 schedule release. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. With baseball season in full swing, you can track all the action at Bet Online. heading over to BetOnline right now. They do not have the NL Cy Young or NL MVP odds up, but they do have the AL Cy Young and AL MVP odds. Lance Lynn is currently the odds-on favorite at minus 150, so you'd have to put a lot of money down in order to win anything. MVP is literally just two names, Shohei Ohtani and Vladdy Guerrero, with Ohtani being the big betting favorite at minus 1,000 and Vlad Guerrero Jr. at plus 500. They've both a little cool down a little bit. But either way, I'm not sure when they're going to put the NL Cy Young, but Walker Buehler is definitely going to be up there. And if you can get Walker Buehler at any decent odds, I would take it, especially if they add it on BetOnline. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all this news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. And right now, you can get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at BetOnline with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's BetOnline, promo code LOCKEDON for 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we're back, and the Dodgers and the rest of MLB released their preliminary 2022 schedules. Always weird when they do this in August or July of the season before it's going to happen, when some teams are still thinking about the playoffs and maybe some teams are looking forward to 2022, but definitely not the Dodgers. But either way, schedule came out and the Dodgers will be playing the AL Central and Interleague next year. Unfortunately for Dodger fans, the White Sox won't be coming to town. The Dodgers will play the newly named Cleveland Guardians at Dodger Stadium, the Detroit Tigers, and the Minnesota Twins. They will not be seeing the Royals or White Sox here, but they will play the White Sox in Chicago and play the Royals in Kansas City. The Dodgers will start at home this year, which is nice after last year's weird starting in Colorado. The Dodgers will start at home versus Colorado on March 31st. The Dodgers will finish the season with Colorado September 30th through October 2nd. And yeah, other than that, not too much. Obviously, it's a normal schedule. The Dodgers do have a big road trip in May, going to Philly, Washington, and then coming to Arizona. The All-Star game at Dodger Stadium, it will be Tuesday, July 19th, with the Home Run Derby on that Monday, July 18th. The Dodgers will be the only game that Thursday, July 21st. They will play the Giants. They'll be the showcase game of the day, which was supposed to be Yankees Red Sox this season, but it got rained out. But yeah, so they won't have a full All-Star break, but since they will be at home, at least, or at least some guys will be at home, it might not be too bad. It's just, you know, it's exciting to look ahead to 2022 if you're planning trips and things of that nature. Hopefully that things will be a little bit more fully open and a little bit less hectic with all the COVID things happening, but that remains to be seen on that end. But if you are planning your trips, check out the Dodgers 2022 home and away schedule. They go to Colorado, Minnesota, San Diego, Arizona in March, April. Cubs, Pittsburgh, Philly, Washington, Arizona in May. White Sox, Giants, Reds, Braves, Rockies, they head to in June. In July, they go to St. Louis and Anaheim and Colorado. In August, they go to SF, KC, Milwaukee, Miami, and New York. And then in September, they go to San Diego, Arizona, San Francisco, San Diego. So normal schedule there. Check it out if you want, and you know, start planning trips, I guess, if you really want to. So with that being said, also something that hasn't been, it's not a for sure thing, but something that is being talked about, at least in Los Angeles, and could affect you if you go to a Dodger game, is that Los Angeles leaders are talking about maybe making proof of vaccination a thing in order to enter bars, restaurants, movie theaters, gyms, and then concert venues, and I believe stadiums were mentioned as well. New York has already started this. I don't know how extensive New York's is, if it's just restaurants and bars or what the case is, but you do have to show proof of vaccination in order to get in, with the new variant coming in and the cases starting to rise again. It's something obviously that LA's thinking about, and if it does affect Dodger Stadium has already gone to where you're supposed to wear masks on the concourses and inside. They haven't really enforced it on the concourses. They probably enforce it inside when you're at the store or whatever. I don't go to the team store, so I'm not sure. But it would be, you know, a big change if they did have a proof of vaccination. You know, for those people that aren't vaccinated, they effectively wouldn't be able to go to a Dodger game, or, you know, would have to, I guess, fake it and try to get in that way. So it's not a for sure thing. It's just something that was mentioned, but just something, you know, passing along to you guys. If you haven't heard, or if you're maybe, you know, considering going to a Dodger game here in the last couple months, just know that that could potentially happen and could potentially be something that Dodger Stadium requires. We'll see. Hopefully not in the sense that we don't want to impact having as many fans as possible, especially heading into a stretch run when the Dodgers need to have full fans there, and especially heading into a postseason. You know, we all probably want to go to postseason games for sure and be in that atmosphere. So, that's just the, you know, matter. Obviously, I'm not going to get to the politics of getting vaccinated or not getting vaccinated. I'm vaccinated, so it won't bother me if they do start requiring proof, because I'll still be able to get into Dodger Stadium. But other than that, that's all I really had for today. There was a lot to talk about. This segment's a little bit shorter, but I started talking about the 2022 schedule and then realized, you know, it's not that fun to talk about the schedules, especially since you already know who they're going to play, and you really just have to mention the interleague schedule. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to follow on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. You can follow or send us a DM on any of those accounts if you have a question, comment, or concern. You can also reach us at 323-863-5625 for voicemails or texts. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. Make sure to join us in Spotify Green Room on Thursday during the day, as we will probably take some questions and just have a general Dodger conversation. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one. Betting on baseball can be easy and not a guessing game if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.
D, I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all hard. All heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!